Book of Revelation, chapter 3 this week. This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the 10th verse of chapter 3, as the Lord is giving a special promise to his faithful church of Philadelphia. Because, he said, you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. As we look at the world today, it is certainly ripe for judgment. Jesus said concerning the last days that iniquity would abound. Evil days, he said, would wax worse and worse. And surely we see that in the world in which we live today. It should be noted that God in past history has moved in and brought his judgment upon the world and upon various cities, and upon even his people of Israel. We read concerning the days of the time of Noah, when God judged the earth and destroyed the inhabitants on the face of the earth. When we look at Genesis 6, we see the things that provoked this intervention of God and his judgment. It says, the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, that the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually, that the earth was corrupt, and that the earth was filled with violence. And thus, God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. It is possible for man to sink so far in his rebellion against God that the long-suffering of God, the patience of God, is expended, and God brings his judgment upon that world or those people or that nation, that city. So it was with the world in the time of Noah. They crossed the line. There is a time, we know not when, a line we know not where, that marks the destiny of men twixt sorrow and despair. There is a line, though by man unseen, once it has been crossed, God himself, in all of his love, has sworn that all is lost. God said, my spirit won't always strive with man. That's a warning. God said, I will destroy man from the face of the earth. I will bring a flood of water and destroy all flesh. And so we read, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl, of cattle, of beasts, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things, the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive and they that were with him in the ark. The judgment of God destroyed the people that existed before the flood. We see God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we look at the events that provoked the judgment of God upon Sodom. We read, and the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked, that their sin was very grievous. And as we read the account in the book of Genesis, we find that the homosexual men were parading in the streets when the angels came to visit Lot. They came and pounded on the door, demanding that Lot deliver the men to them that they might rape them sexually. Aggressive homosexual activity. And the angel of God said, "We're going to destroy this place." And they told Lot to hurry and escape, for they said, "We can really do nothing until you are gone." The result, God's judgment, the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all of the plain and the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Later in history, we find God bringing his judgment upon the nation of Israel, his chosen people. And many places the prophets tell us the reasons for God's judgment upon Israel. But in 2 Kings chapter 17, beginning with verse 16, there's sort of a summary. "And they left all of the commandments of the Lord their God, and they made molten images, even two calves. And they made a grove, and they worshipped all the host of heaven and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments. And they sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." So they left the commandments of God. They made molten images to worship. And they made a grove. Now, that is a reference to the worship of Ashtoreth, the female goddess of sex, who was represented in idolatry by a very pornographic little idol that was designed to arouse the passions, the sexual drives within a person. And they worshiped sex, basically. They became deeply involved in pornography. And so God brought his judgment, he said, upon them for this sin. The interesting thing, as you follow the progression, they did turn to sexual types of sin, the worship of Ashtoreth. As within the days of Noah, the thoughts and the imagination of their hearts became evil continually. And because of the heightened sexual arousal, there was a lot of sexual promiscuity. And it always follows when you have sort of a free sex kind of a society that you have unwanted pregnancies. And so this causing their children to pass through the fire is a reference to their practice of abortion. Though they didn't have the medical knowledge of aborting within the womb, once the child was born, they would take and cast it into the fires unto the god Molech or Baal, the god of pleasure, the god of power, and they would get rid of the child after it was born. Today, if you go to the history of Natural History Museum in Israel, you'll see many of their little iron representations of their god Baal. And when you see these little iron gods, you'll notice that the arms are outstretched, the hands are upward. And what they would do is put these iron gods in the fire, heat them until they were glowing red, and then they would take their little babies and place them in the outstretched arm of Baal as a sacrifice to Baal. You say, "Oh, that's horrible. That's repulsive." Well, we have the same situation in the United States today, the heightened sexual arousals through pornography and all that is so available. We have the promiscuous sex, and we have the unwanted pregnancies. And thus far, about 35 million babies have been aborted in the womb as the result of this God brought his judgment upon Israel for this very sin. And don't think that the United States is going to escape the judgment of God. It isn't. In Deuteronomy 32, God said, "They've moved me to jealousy with their worship of these false gods. They've provoked me to anger with their vanities. I will move them to jealousy with those that are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger. They'll be devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of the serpents of the dust. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man, the virgin, the nursing child, and the men of gray hair. Thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her, and she has changed my judgments into wickedness more than the other nations, and my statutes more than the other countries that are round about her. For they have refused my judgment and my statutes. They've not walked in them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you have multiplied more than the nations that are round about you, and you've not walked in my statutes, neither have you kept my judgments, neither have you done according to the judgments of the nations that are round about you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, am against thee. I will execute judgments in the midst of thee, in the sight of the nations. I will do in thee that which I have not done, and whereunto will not do any more the like, because of all of your abominations. Therefore, the fathers shall eat the sons in the midst of thee. The sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgments in thee, and the whole remnant of thee will I scatter to the winds." God's judgment upon the nation of Israel, and it was literally fulfilled, the cannibalism that took place in Jerusalem as the result of the tremendous hunger after the siege of Titus. You can read about it in Josephus, the wars and the antiquities of the Jews, and it was a horrible thing. God has judged in the past, and the world is again ripe for judgment. God has promised that his judgment is going to come in the last days. There will be a period of 3.5 years in which the world will see a greater judgment of God upon the whole earth than at any time in the history of man. This 3.5 year period is known in the scripture by various names. It's called the Great Tribulation. It is called the Day of His Wrath. It is called the Wrath of the Lamb. It is called His Indignation. It's called the Hour of Temptation, the Time of Jacob's Trouble, and the Day of the Lord's Vengeance. Now, the majority of the book of Revelation is devoted to describing in detail the judgments of God that are going to come upon the earth. As soon as we get to chapter 6, when the Lord begins to open the seven seals that are sealing the scroll, we will enter into this period of judgment, and it will be detailed for us on through chapter 18. And thus, as we study the book of Revelation, for the most part, we're going to be studying the judgment of God, the wrath of God that's going to be poured out upon this world, and I believe in just a short time. God's judgments will be more severe than they were at any time in the history of man, more severe than the flood, more severe than Sodom and Gomorrah, more severe than on the nation of Israel. Daniel said, in that day shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Jesus said concerning this time, Matthew 24:21, for there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. This will be the greatest period of judgment that the world has ever or will ever see. Micah declared, and I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. But God has promised to spare his people when this day of wrath and judgment comes. In Daniel chapter 12 again, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Speaking of this day of God's indignation, Isaiah said, come, my people, enter into your chambers, shut the doors about thee, hide thyself as it were for a little moment until the indignation is over. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. The prophet Zephaniah said, seek the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. The prophet Malachi spoke and said, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his only son that serves him. When Jesus was talking about the events of the great tribulation, he said to his disciples, now take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts would be overcharged with surfeiting and with drunkenness and with the cares of this life, so that that day will take you unaware or catch you by surprise. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that you'll be accounted worthy to escape these things that shall come to pass upon the earth, that is, the things of the great tribulation, and to stand before the Son of Man. When we get to chapter 5, we'll show you what that means, to be standing before the Son of Man when the great tribulation takes place upon the earth. Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica, said, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. In the text this morning, here in Revelation 3:10, the promise of Jesus to the church of Philadelphia, because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which is coming to try men who dwell upon the earth. It's important that in our minds we clarify the difference between the tribulation that the church will go through and the great tribulation that the wicked will be exposed to. Jesus said to his church, in this world you will have tribulation. But the source of the tribulation of the church is Satan. He is the one that brings tribulation upon the saints, upon those who are followers of Jesus Christ. The tribulation that we experience has many forms. Sometimes ridicule, sometimes scorn, mockery. When people say, you don't really believe that stuff about the Bible, do you? Oh, come on. You know, we've advanced intellectually far beyond that. And they put you down and they scorn your faith in Jesus Christ. Not only that, the church has suffered physical persecution from the enemies of Jesus Christ. The history of the church is replete with men and women who have given their lives because of their faith and testimony in Jesus Christ, as the wicked world around them, those that hate God and hate Christ, take out their hatred by seeking to destroy those who do believe. It is estimated that in the years between about 60 and the year 312, there were some 5 million Christians that gave their lives for their testimony of Jesus Christ. But it's going on to the present day. In the past year, there have been many people martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. Ministers were recently put to death in Iran because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And most recently, of course, they're in Littleton, Colorado, when this young girl bravely stood up and confessed her faith in Christ and then was killed by those young men who had invaded the school because of her testimony and faith in Jesus. Tribulation, yes. But what's behind the tribulation? Satan. Now, when we talk about the Great Tribulation, we're talking about something that's entirely different, because the source of the Great Tribulation is God. It is His wrath. It is His fury. It is His judgment that He's going to bring upon the earth. And it is for the wicked who will be punished. Isaiah 26, "For behold, the Lord comes out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity." 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Micah 5, 15, "And I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard." In Malachi 4, 1, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all of the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be the stubble." So, when God brings His judgment, the righteous will not be here. You remember the principle that was established when the angels were on their way to destroy the city of Sodom. They stopped by and visited with Abraham. And they said, "Shall we reveal to Abraham what we're doing?" And they said, "Well, let's do." And so they said, "We have been dispatched to destroy the city of Sodom, because the iniquity, the sin of Sodom, has come before God. And so we're on our way to destroy it." Abraham, knowing that his nephew Lot was living in the city of Sodom, said, "Well, shouldn't the Lord over the whole earth be fair? What if there are 50 righteous men in the city of Sodom? Would you destroy the righteous with the wicked?" And they said, "If we can find 50 righteous men, we'll spare the city." And Abraham began to negotiate until he got down to 10 men. And they finally said, "If there are 10 righteous, we'll destroy the city." But what happened? When they came to the city of Sodom, they found there was only one righteous man, and he, it says, was vexed by the way the people were living around him. His righteous spirit was vexed. Do you find your righteous spirit vexed when you see the way people are living today? When you see the pictures of the Father's Day gay right parade in San Francisco, does that vex your righteous spirit? When you watch television and the news programs and the things that are going on, the evil that is being promoted and existing, does that vex your righteous spirit? Then you know what Lot was feeling like. And when the angels came to Sodom and found only Lot, they said, "Get out of here quickly, because we can't do anything until you are out." And as soon as Lot was out of the city, God rained his judgment upon the city. And Peter, when he makes a commentary on that particular event, said, "For God knows how to deliver the righteous, but to reserve the ungodly for the day of judgment." Now Jesus said, "Pray ye always that you'll be accounted worthy to escape these things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man." Be careful, he said, lest your life become so involved in just eating, drinking, and the cares of this life that that day will catch you unprepared. "For as a snare it shall come upon all who dwell upon the earth." Warnings by Jesus. And of course, in Matthew's gospel, many parables. And with each one, the warning was, "Watch and be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man is coming." What if the Lord comes and you're not ready? You've been so caught up with the worldly things that you're not really ready for his return. Does that mean that you have to be forever lost? As we move through the book of Revelation, we'll find answers to that question. For in heaven, we will one day see a number of people who were martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ during this period of the Great Tribulation. We will read of those who refused to take the mark of the beast, this mark that will be given to every man, and no one will be able to buy or sell unless they have this mark in the right hand or in their forehead. We'll get that in chapter 13 as we move through. And he has power to put to death anyone who refuses to take that mark. There will be many who will be saved, but that will be a hard way to go. How much better to be ready when the Lord comes. How much better to be watching and to be ready so that we are taken with the church before the great tribulation period. As we go through Revelation, we'll be dealing a lot with this subject. But it is of extreme importance to each of us, because really, you don't want to be here when God's judgment begins to fall. And the beautiful thing is, you don't have to be here. God has provided a way of escape. Father, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, a map of the future. Lord, may we live according to the instructions and the exhortations of your word. And Lord, help us to take heed, lest at any time we be so involved in just the worldly things that that day will catch us unprepared. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? The end of October, you'll see here at South Coast Plaza and the other malls, they'll be stringing the Christmas tree lights, putting out the reindeer and the Santa Clauses. And when you see that happening, towards the end of October, you'll know that Thanksgiving is getting close. Because we know that Thanksgiving precedes Christmas. And though they are putting out the signs of Christmas, it only means that Thanksgiving is near. Now, the signs of the coming of Jesus Christ are all signs of the second coming. The prophecies, they all relate to the second coming of Jesus. And as we see these signs that tell of the second coming, you know the rapture of the church is getting close, because we know that it precedes. And Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Surely we are living in those times that Jesus was speaking about, when there is distress and perplexity of nations. The literal in the Greek is, there is distress of nations with no way out. And look at the problems of the world today, the nations today. It seems like we've gotten ourselves in a real mess, and there doesn't seem to be any way out. Signs of his coming. Look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. But the big question is, are you ready? That's the issue. Jesus said, pray ye always that you'll be accounted worthy to escape these things that are coming to pass upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. Are you ready? If you're not sure, the pastors are down here in the front to pray for you. As soon as we're dismissed, we encourage you, don't head for the exits. Come on down to the front. They're here to pray for you that you might have the assurance and the knowledge that should the Lord meet you on your way home from church today, you'll be ready to meet the Lord. The prophet Amos said, prepare to meet thy God. Preparation is necessary. You don't want to just meet him cold. You want to make sure that you're prepared. And so I'd encourage you to come on down. They're here to pray for you, to help you, to be ready for the Lord.